When you have a large family with a lot of children, so every parent wishes that children get along with each other. If children ever really want to make their parents suffer, they just fight with their siblings. They don't have to fight with their parents. Fight with their siblings, it makes parents crazy, right? There's nothing a parent hates more than when their kids are fighting with each other, right? So every parent wants all the kids to love each other, obviously. However, even within families that all do love each other, regardless of how different they may be from each other, an age gap or get, the reality is that usually within a family, there are two who are more connected to each other than they are to the rest of the siblings. Whether it's because they shared a room, or dafka they didn't share a room, or they were close in age, or they have similar, they're both into learning, or there's usually the similar personality types, or they have opposite personality, one's like mom, one's like dad, whatever it is. They're often two that are more associated with each other. Obviously, it's the case very often with twins, but it also happens with other children who just sometimes find more common ground with each other, and they become much closer. Now, among the Shiftei Ka, that clearly seems to be the case. That it's not just that there are 12 Shvatim, but there are pairings of Shvatim. There are several pairings of Shvatim. Shimon v'Levi Achim, Yisachar Zvulun, have their partnership. A generation later, you have Menashe and Ephraim. There's one pairing that's maybe not as noticeable, but once you start paying attention, you realize that it really is a very deep connection. And that is the pairing of Yosef and Dina. You wouldn't think of it because Dina's not one of the Shvatim, but there are some significant connections. Most famously, of course, Gemara in Brachos Tav Samach, that Leah became pregnant with a seventh child. She did the math and realized that a seventh son for her would mean that Rachel is less than, gets fewer of the Shvatim than either of the Shvachos, and Leah davens that it should be a girl, and turns into a girl. That she initially, Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel says, that at the time, Rachel had initially been pregnant with a girl, and Yosef turned into a boy. There's even one shita that there was a transplanted fetuses from one uterus to the other in the middle of the night. Yosef snuck out of Leah and snuck into Rachel, and whatever. So that somehow Dina and Yosef were people actually use it as a halachic source, which is, as Rosh Hashanah says, a little bit humorous, but it's used as a halachic source in discussing surrogacy and things like that. So You have that connection between them. Pirkei Rav Loza says that Yosef and Dina were the only children of Yaakov not to be born with a twin. Everyone else had a natural pairing. They didn't have a natural pairing. At a critical turning point in Yosef's life, Yaakov sends him to Shechem, the very place that Dina was taken. So what do we make of that connection between Yosef and Dina? What's the deeper meaning of that connection? In what way do they complement each other? Second, Rabbi Naftali Mirapshitz writes in Zera Kodesh, Chanukah Lel Hei, that while the Torah associates the Shalosh Regalim with the three Avos, the rabbinic holiday of Chanukah is associated with Yosef HaTzadik. In fact, the Megala Amukos points out that Antiochus is Begematria Yosef, as is Melech Yavan. So there's some Chanukah connection to Yosef. The Medrash tells us that the Yevanim made a gzeira, kisvu al keren ashar, she'en lechem chelek velekei Yisrael. Right? That kisvu al keren ashar. And that relates to the attempt to defeat Yosef, who's b'chor shoro hadarlo. Right? That Yosef is the shor. Bnei Yisachar even says that Yaakov sent Yehuda down toward Yosef in Mitzrayim, lahoros lefan of Goshna. And Bnei Yisachar says, Goshna, gimel, shin, nun, hey. Those letters should seem familiar from the dreidel, Neis Gadol Hayashah. Assuming that there's meaning to that and it's not just based on the German Tops game from a couple of centuries ago, don't Google it, keep your faith alive, it's all good. So the question is, why is Yosef more than any of the other brothers associated with Chanukah? So again, why is Yosef more associated with Dina, and why is Yosef more associated with Chanukah? Third, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes Zayin tells us that Ein Koren Avos El Shlosha, meaning the tkuf of the Avos ended with Yaakov Avinu's death. Rav Hutner in Pachad Yitzchak and Pesach, Maimer Mem Tes, and in Sukkos, Maimer Yud Beis, explains that when Yaakov said, Ephraim u Menashe, Ruvain v'Shimon Yuli, he was not only commenting about Ephraim and Menashe, meaning he was upgrading Ephraim and Menashe to the status of Shvatim, but in so doing, he was also upgrading Yosef to the status of Anav. Meaning Yosef is the only one, other than Yaakov, to be a father of a Shevet. So if he's a father of two Shvatim, so he's been upgraded to the status of an Av. He's an honorary Av as well, says Rav Huttner. And that idea emerges from the fact that Yosef is the only member of his generation to die in Sefer Bereishis. The Chumash says, Vayamas Yosef v'kalachav v'kaladarahu, implying that Yosef is different than Kalachav. And it's even a medrash in Vayikra, Parsha Lamed Os Yud, that associates the Dalad Minim of Sukkis with all the Avos. Avram is the Esrog, Yitzchak is the Lulav, Yaakov is Hadassim, and Yosef is the Aravos. Okay, you have to explore further why each one matches up with each. But there aren't four Avos! And yet, apparently, Yosef has some status of another. So three anomalies about Yosef. Number one, he's got a partner, and her name is Dina. Number two, that Yosef is somehow connected deeply to Chanukah. And number three, that Yosef in some way is an Av. So what do we make of all that? So I could make nothing of all that, but Baruch Shem Rav Daniel Stein, Shlita, wrote a Sefer, Chamude Daniel, and he makes a lot of it. And he puts together beautifully in his fantastic Sefer, where he answers all of these questions based on one of the most famous Yisodos of any Yisod that you know. The Yisod of the Beis HaLevi. You know, when people say the famous Beis HaLevi, it's always silly to say, because every Beis HaLevi is famous, right? Meaning, whatever the Beis HaLevi wrote on Chumash became famous. So you just wish he wrote more. You know, there would be more famous things. But the famous Beis HaLevi, relating to the encounter between Yaakov and Esav. If you don't remember, you remember, but when Yaakov davens to be saved, Miyal Achi, Miyal Esav, he meant to say that Hashem should save him whether Esav comes as Achi or whether Esav comes as Esav. Meaning, just like I have to daven to be saved from Esav when he wants to fight against me and when he wants to act like my enemy, I also have to daven to be saved from Esav when he embraces me, when he's achi. Either of those interactions could lead to disaster. Vayira Yaakov Mo'ud Vayetzerlo. Vayira is that Esav might kill him. Vayetzerlo, he might try to draw too close to him. Right? Not like Rashi and Chumash, he might kill others. That he might try to draw too close to him, and that also is very dangerous. And that idea that there's a dual threat posed by Esav is indicated all over the place. Yaakov fights the angel of Esav. The term is Vaye Ovek, which Chazal understand to mean wrestling to the point of kicking up dirt, or Vaye Chavek, like hugging each other, because both of those are a sakana. When they're beating the gesundheit out of each other, that's a sakana. And when they're hugging each other, it's also a sakana. Sfas Emes writes, Vayadayim Yidei Esav is a danger because both the Yamin, which is Mekareves, and the Smol, which is Docha, which are the function of the two hands, they're both dangerous to us. Esav is described as an Ish Yodea Tzayid, Ish Sada. He knows how to leave, how to have Tzayid Bepiv, to sweet talk, into friendship, and he also knows how to be an Ish Sada, to come with weapons drawn. Medrash explains that that's why HaKol Kol Yaakov relates to two different voices of Yaakov. We require the Kol Tefillah to save us from the attack of Esav, and the Kol Torah to save us from the closeness of Esav, to distinguish us from Esav and separate ourselves from him. Similar concern you find finding the proper balance between friendship with the Umos Olam in general throughout all of history and drawing too close in other places, you know, as well. Yaakov goes to Shechem. And the Gemara Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel says, "Ma'u vayichan, Rav Amar matbea tikein lahem, Shmuel Amar shvakim tikein lahem," which means Yaakov didn't just do business with Shechem; he set up their entire economy, he set up their whole marketplace. And the Medrash tells us he was koveya laatzmo tchum Shabbos. In addition, setting up their whole economy, he was koveya tchum Shabbos. What's the shaychus? Because he was being so close with them, and he was doing all the things to set them up, he had to have board, he had to have boundaries. That there's a Tchum Shabbos, there's going to be protections against assimilation. Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos tells us the final test of Avraham Avinu was to buy Maris HaMechpelah for Sarah, to bury Sarah. So it seems strange, because everybody has an obligation to bury their wife if their wife predeceases them. So they explained that Avraham preempts the entire negotiation with the phrase, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, that even as we engage in careful business dealings, we're going to be a member of their society, but my wife needs to be buried separately. Even as I do everything else together with you, my wife has to be buried separately. We retain our distance. We're not going to be fully, fully like one of you. And that balance is such a tricky balance to strike throughout Jewish history. So that's what Stein writes in the Sefer. Yosef's connection to Dina, his connection to Chanukah, and his role as an Av can be understood. All three of those things can be understood in light of this. Each of the Avos left something that needed to be corrected. Avram had Yishmael, Yitzchak had Esav, Yaakov had 12 sons who were all tzaddikim, but they didn't yet know how to engage with the outside world while not assimilating and intermarrying, meaning how to balance, how to be not totally separate, and yet at the same time not to mingle too much. Dina ended up in Shechem, and the reaction was very, very strong, perhaps too strong. Yosef was the one to fix that midah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always said. Yosef represents the gullus Jew. He knew how to be the kind of person that can withstand and reject the overtures of Anishas Potiphar, even as he was a Mishnah Melech, even as he managed to be a Mishnah Melech. Yosef, more than anybody else, taught us that you could raise a Menashe and Ephraim even when you're a Mishnah Melech in Galus. So in that sense, Yosef is an Av, because the Avos are those who set the character and the Midos of the nation, and Yosef set that Midah of being able to balance these two things. You know, the Megala Amukos says that that's exactly why Yosef is so connected with Dina, because he was the counterbalance for Dina. Dina was kept in a box. Dina was kept away from Esav, in a box, as much as she can be protected from him. Yosef is the counterbalance. He's sent out into the world. So Dina ends up in an unwilling relationship with Shechem, and Yosef manages to avoid such a relationship with Eishes Potiphar. They mirror each other. The sakana of Galus Yavan is primarily not a physical sakana. It's a sakana of assimilation. Lashkicham tarasecha laviram mechukei ritzanecha. So Chanukah is the time for Yosef to shine, because he teaches us how to defeat Yavan, because their primary focus is Kisvul Chamel Keren Ashar, was to defeat him. So we learn through Yosef how to defeat Yavan. It's a very important idea. You know, it's almost the idea that that our yeshiva sort of functions on. The idea that there's such a thing as balance in life, that there's such a thing as balance in the world, and that a person not could be an Eved Hashem and be a balanced person, but the best way to be an Eved Hashem is to be a person who has balance and who knows how to juggle multiple variables simultaneously. On the way in today, I was listening. Someone sent me a shmooze that Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz in Eish HaTorah was giving, and people were very bothered over there, because I don't know if you've been following certain statements of Big Talmidei Chachamim about total rejection of anything related to Tzahal and Don't Daven. I can't even repeat whatever terrible, terrible things. And Rav Berkowitz was trying to explain. He said, obviously disagreed, but he was trying to explain that there's a model in Chinuch that there can't be any nuance, because nuance is confusing. And that's the model in Chinuch. Ad Masai, you know, till the end of preschool, the end of grade school, Ad Masai, so, you know, forever. That there's such a model of Chinuch, which reflects a tremendous, tremendous lack of trust of your Haredi Tzibur, right? If you think that they can't handle any amount of nuance whatsoever. They can't say that, we think what this person is doing is good for them, but we shouldn't be doing that. What do you mean? If it's good for them, then I should be doing it. Or anything, any amount of nuance. But Yosef is the hero of nuance, meaning he's the hero of knowing how to engage properly, and at the same time, raise a Menashe Ephraim and become a Yosef HaTzadik. You know, I found that over the past couple of weeks, there are these, a lot of times when you have these hashkafic issues that come up, people all of a sudden start sending me texts and emails. You know, I feel like I'm hashkafically lost. I need to connect more to Rav Schechter. They have no shaykhus Rav Schechter. They grew up in a totally different world, but they feel lost. They feel lost. Because sometimes a person goes out into the world and discovers that there actually is nuance in the world. There actually are things that you need to balance. And if you're raised with no nuance whatsoever, it's so disorienting. So this is the lesson, one of the lessons that Rav Stein teaches us relating to Yosef HaTzadik. Okay.